Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If, though, this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. The MQL process is broken and we need to fix it. So argues Jason Bradwell, who is Senior Director of Group Marketing and Communications at DeltaTray. And Jason joins me now. Jason, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Dave. Lucky number 165. It has always been a lucky number for me.
It's my favorite number. So it's great that you're here for that number. Before we dive into the MQL process, why don't you tell us a bit about DeltaTray?
Yeah, sure thing. So DeltaTray is a global enterprise B2B technology company that serves the media and sport markets. And it's a solutions business. So really anything to do with taking content from where it's being filmed or where it's being, you know, played in the case of sports to where it's being consumed on end user devices, that is the realm in which DeltaTray plays. So that could look like putting cameras into football stadiums, that could be doing broadcast graphics for television, that could be, you know, match data collection, analysis, distribution, building websites, apps, streaming services, and consultancy, and everything in between. It's been in business for 36 years now, originally born out of Turin in Italy, but now with 18, possibly 20 offices across the globe and a thousand people working under the DeltaTray banner. And my role within the organization, Senior Director of Marketing and Communications, I've been at DeltaTray for 4 years now, joined the organization through an acquisition. I used to be the product marketing director at a company called Massive that was absorbed by DeltaTray in 2018. And yeah, my remit really covers anything to do with the external promotion of our products and our services. So whether that sits across content, PR and comms, events, product marketing, me and my team, you know, that's what we're working on day in, day out. So yeah, that's a bit about us.
That sounds like a pretty large brief. So I'm going to have to ask you, how on earth do you decide where to focus in all of that?
Yeah, it's a good question and a profound question, particularly as, you know, the organization has such a broad value proposition and the marketing function within it is fairly new. You know, the company has done really well over the last, you know, 35 or so years in operating with a predominantly sales-led commercial strategy, and marketing has kind of been you know, in support of that, but never kind of a revenue driver per se. You know, we're growing the team and our influence within the organization, starting with the two full-time hires that came in through the acquisition when I joined. You know, we're now a team of 10. And where do we focus? We've got three business units within the organization, and we've got a really good relationship with the senior leadership within those units. You know, every year and every quarter, we sit down and we identify, you know, what are the core priorities? What are the core launches over the course of, you know, this next period of time? And we just basically work backwards from that. I think it's about accepting that you can't be everywhere all the time. And, you know, that is a bit of a learning curve, I think, for some businesses and some management teams. But yeah, we've got a really good working relationship with the business. And yeah, we focus on, you know, the core strategic initiatives of the day.
It sounds like a really exciting space, but I can't talk to you much more about that because we're going to focus on the MQL process. And Jason, I get the feeling you're not the sort of person who holds back. You say the MQL process is broken. So what are the characteristics of a broken MQL process that you see today?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think, you know, to answer it, you first need to define what a conventional MQL process looks like in a business that has predominantly run a sales-led go-to-market, you know, new business development strategy for a long period of time. And what that typically looks like, and this won't be any surprise to you, Dave, is marketing does a bunch of stuff up at the top of the funnel to raise awareness and essentially capture and drive traffic to an online destination, be it a website, a landing page, or whatever, and to capture contact details of prospective buyers in exchange for some kind of value, right? Typical inbound marketing strategy. Those contact details are then subject to some sort of qualification process, either against, you know, demographic or firmographic information and metrics. And once a certain threshold is reached, they are triggered as a marketing qualified lead and they're handed over to sales so they can, you know, do their job and reach out and see if there's any business to be had. So, you know, very conventional MQL process, marketing generates leads, hand over to sales, and hopefully everyone, you know, finishes the week happy. Here's how you know it's not working. When marketing is consistently hitting their quota, their MQL quota every month, every quarter, every year, but the vast majority of those MQLs are not converting into active commercial conversations, right? And whether that is, you know, then becoming SQLs, whether that's becoming pipeline, whether that's becoming revenue, I think that really depends on, you know, the business type. Mm-hmm. But essentially, the ratio is off. We're generating a lot of volume, but we're not seeing a lot of results. And if that's happening, I think you can safely say that your process is broken. The other thing I think that comes off the back of that is if marketing is constantly finding itself on the back foot in terms of justifying its existence within the organization, right? If there is this perception that marketing is, you know, generating a huge volume of MQLs that aren't converting into the metrics that matter, then, you know, it's basically a waste of time for everybody. And that can really erode the trust that is required in these organizations to continue to invest in building out marketing to what it needs to be to meet modern day buyer requirements.
Okay. And are you postulating that the process is broken in the sports sector that you operate in or indeed more broadly?
More broadly, I think there are many B2B organizations out there across a variety of sectors that have run traditionally sales-led commercial strategies in order to win new business that, you know, look at marketing as the function that is, you know, delivering us a high volume of leads that we can cold call and cold email to death to try and convert into actual business. That is not a problem that is confined to the sport media sector. That is, you know, a rampant problem across predominantly, I would kind of define as like enterprise style organizations.
Okay. So let's dive into the root cause behind that. You know, why is it that the MQL process is you've pointed out two symptoms. Why is it broken in this way?
I think it comes down to a pressure to hand over marketing qualified leads too early to the sales department. And I think this is a result of a misunderstanding from B2B leadership teams on what the modern day buyer journey looks like. A misunderstanding on what the role of a marketing team is in a modern day B2B organization, and an inability to effectively measure marketing success. I can break those down for you. In terms of the buyer journey, today it is largely independent and self-driven. Buyers have the means and the will to evaluate vendors on their own terms. And this is very different to, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago, where, you know, really the only way for buyers to get the information they needed in order to answer their problems was to speak to vendors and by extension speak to the sales teams within those vendors. But, you know, we're in the world and era of the internet, and there's online communities and social media and message boards and product forums and plenty of ways for buyers to make their own decisions and get the information on their own terms. But a lot of organizations are still in that kind of, you know, 5, 10, 15 year mindset. In that mindset, in that kind of outdated playbook, the role of marketing was very clear. It was to enable sales. It was to service sales. It was to pull together good looking decks and brochures and flyers and put on big trade show events where sellers could, you know, meet with their prospective buyers.
Yeah.
And a lot of B2B organizations are still in this mindset. They're disregarding the role that marketing now has to play in 2022 in terms of creating demand for their products and services in the channels where their buyers are spending time. And this brings us then to measurement. You know, if the mindset is marketing is here to serve sales, what is, you know, the obvious way to do that? It's in leads, right? It's in the number of leads we can feed our sales team so they can do their jobs. It's clear, it's measurable. You know, you can throw it onto a deck and share it with investors and say, well, that's how marketing are delivering value to the organization. But, you know, the problem with that kind of mindset is, you know, only a small proportion of volume is actually going to convert into commercial conversations. I'm sure you're familiar with the study by, I think his name's John Dawes from the Ehrenberg Bass Institute, that showed that only 5% of a B2B company's target market typically are actually in market to buy a product or a service at any given time, which leaves 95% of buyers who aren't. That doesn't mean they're not valuable, but it just means they're not ready to buy from us right now. Yeah. But if these organizations have this mindset that if we have a high volume of leads and we're going to be able to convert 50, 60, 70% of them into at least commercial conversations, I mean, that's just misguided. So I'm not saying that collecting marketing qualified leads, you know, in of itself is the problem. What I'm saying is the pressure to hand over those leads to sales without, you know, properly doing your due diligence around buyer intent, you know, that's what's currently is misguided.
Okay. And is there a reason why you've chosen to zero in on those kind of three areas? I mean, you said there that you didn't think it was the collection of leads that was at fault, but well, it might be, mightn't it? Why is it that you've kind of identified the root causes in the way that you have?
My personal experience tells me that collecting the leads isn't the problem. I think if you have a unique perspective on your market and the problems that your customers are facing, which is grounded in real, you know, firsthand customer research, and you have, you know, the means to create materials and collateral and activate the channels where buyers are spending time with the information that helps them solve their problems, you know, you can collect leads, especially if you've got budget to play with and, you know, throw into some paid channels in order to amplify your reach. You know, I don't think that's the problem. The problem is then what you do with those leads. And I think that's what causes a lot of frustration and friction within organizations, because they're operating under the pretense that we just need to get their email addresses. We just need to get their contact information. And then sales will be able to do what they do and convince them that, you know, now's the time to buy. And, you know, I'm from a world of like big enterprise B2B sales, you know, where buying cycles are incredibly long, like anything from 6 months to 3 years in some cases, but windows of opportunity, buying opportunity are very, very, very small. And the odds that you are going to get the contact information of a prospective buyer and reach out to them immediately and they will be in a position to sign a $10 million deal is very, very low. And if you can accept that, then I think it redefines and repivots, you know, how you want to go to market and win new business.
All right, then. So how is it that we can fix this process? Let's put our kind of Bob the Builder helmets on for a moment, Jason, and work out what we can do to mend marketing's reputation in the world.
I think the first thing is you need to work in an organization that is willing to shift their mindset, you know, and who are prepared to invest in getting off the hamster wheel of marketing qualified lead volume. You know, you need to work in a business that understand that B2B buyers, they buy products in different ways than they did 10 years ago, that marketing has a different role to play in an organization than it did 10, 15 years ago, and that there are new ways to measure the impact of marketing than just simply, you know, volume of leads to feed the sales team. What that looks like in terms of...
Sorry, just to interrupt you there. What are the characteristics of organizations that do that? So if I'm looking to try to identify from outside a company that might be ready for this kind of slightly more modern approach to MQL collection, what would be the characteristics that I should be looking for?
I think you just look first and foremost at the leadership team, right? And what is their understanding around, you know, how B2B buyers buy in 2022.
Right.
You know, if you have a CEO or CRO who, you know, still have the mindset that we just need to get email addresses and phone numbers that we can hand off to our sales team and they'll be able to do their business and we'll see a lot of revenue and pipeline coming in, then, you know, that's a bad place to be starting from. Okay. And how that trickles down into the rest of the organization is, you know, you just look at how are the marketing and sales team structured. If you've got a sales team, which is 60, 70 people, you know, who are there just pounding the phones, pounding emails 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year, but your marketing team is like three people, one of whom is an intern, one of whom is like there like only 3 days a week, and one of whom's like the child of the CEO, then you've clearly got something going on wrong there. So those are the couple of the characteristics I immediately jump to.
Thank you. And then just one other thing on that. So it's a bit depressing, isn't it, if the solution to the problem is to quit your job and go and try and find a place that is better. Is there a way that we could begin to make change from within in the, let's call them the Victorian businesses that haven't quite got the hang of what we should be doing in the 21st century?
It is a bit depressing to kind of operate with that mindset that if things aren't going the way you think they should go, you should get out. And I appreciate that what I'm saying is from a position of privilege and that not everyone can just jump ship when things aren't working out the way they want them to and try and find another job. So I'll say that to start with. You know, these Victorian businesses, they are well established. You know, they've usually got quite a lot of legacy success underneath them running a particular playbook. And change is hard, right? Mm-hmm. And it would be unreasonable to expect, you know, huge change to this new go-to-market commercial model overnight. But I think it starts with just running experiments and tests that give you these indicative signals that, you know, if we can light the embers of a fire, then, you know, and we've proven that to the business, they would be more willing to kind of throw some gasoline on there to accelerate that. Mm. And that could be, you know, investing in a new channel, right? Be that, you know, employee advocacy play or, you know, launching a, like a podcast or a live video series. You know, these are the kind of things that better meet the buyer expectations of the modern day. Mm-hmm. And if you can get that buy-in internally that, you know, we're willing to put the budget and the time and the resource behind trying out some of these new channels that are going to help us create and nurture that demand in market and see how we go, then that should hopefully give the business confidence that actually, you know, a bigger shift is going to deliver bigger results.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So, once we started making that fix happen, whether it's within our existing organization or in a new one, how can we measure our success?
Well, the first thing is to start getting away from the kind of vanity metrics that are things like number of leads and, you know, impressions and things of that nature, and really starting to, you know, map marketing activity against the results that matter for a business. And what I mean by that is things like SQLs, pipeline, revenue, profit, you know, number of website sourced opportunities is a great indication that things are moving in the right direction. And that comes with the acceptance that, you know, you are going to see a decrease in the volume. If you run this new kind of, you know, demand creation, demand generation strategy, you are going to inherently see a decrease in the volume of marketing qualified leads that you can generate, but you are going to see a vast increase in the quality of marketing qualified leads that you can generate. And that comes with a bunch of implications, right? Because if you have a sales function that, you know, is built around this idea that we're going to see a huge amount of volume of names coming down the pipeline. And now we're accepting that the number's going to decrease. Well, then what are they all going to do? Like, what are they going to do with their time? And that's what kind of goes back to my point about leadership, right? If they don't believe there's any juice in this idea, you're very quickly going to end up reverting back to old habits because you're unwilling to have the hard conversations and make the hard choices around how a modern day commercial structure needs to look. But, you know, to answer your question directly, how can we see things are moving in the right direction? You know, if your website sourced opportunities, pipeline, sales velocity, revenue are increasing, then that's a good indication things are going in the right direction.
It doesn't sound like it's a change that can happen overnight either. I mean, we're talking about years.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, again, it goes back to your leadership piece. You know, you need that tolerance up top that things are not going to change overnight, right? And we are not necessarily going to be able to attribute every dollar of marketing spend to, you know, a dollar of revenue on the other side. And that requires, you know, a long time horizon, you know, around how you're measuring the kind of success of these new campaigns. But absolutely, it's not an overnight switch. It requires, you know, at least 12 months, probably more 18 months to start seeing results. And that requires some degree of faith, you know, within an organization. But I think if we all look at our own buying behavior as consumers, you know, inherently we know it's true that we don't enjoy being bombarded by salespeople who are cold calling us and cold emailing us to death trying to make something that happen that we're just not ready or in a position to happen. You know, that we could all, I'm sure, intuitively agree on. And if you just start there, you know, then that's a good place to begin from.
Is there any help for people? Because I mean, this is, so you've persuaded me it's broken. You've persuaded me it's really, really hard to fix and it's going to take a long time and maybe not even in the organization that I currently work for. Is there, please, let's say yes, there's some help out there for people who are trying to make this change, because it's going to be very difficult, right?
Yeah, it is very difficult and it definitely requires leadership. You know, this is not something that you can offload to kind of the intern or the marketing executive to roll out. It requires leadership buy-in. What kind of resources are out there? I mean, I wouldn't be a marketer if I didn't kind of plug my own stuff and suggest that you follow, you know, my podcast, B2B Better, where I talk a lot about these subjects with other marketing experts who have rolled out these programs in the past. So if you start anywhere, I'd suggest you start there.
So you can't just leave it at that. You've got to tell us the name of the podcast and tell us where we can find it.
Absolutely. It's called B2B Better, and you can find it on any podcast directory of choice.
Brilliant. And if people want to find out more about DeltaTray, what should they do?
You can visit our website, www.deltatray.com, and that's spelled DELTATRE. We're also active on LinkedIn and Twitter. You can find us there.
Jason Bradwell, thanks for speaking to me today.
Dave, thank you very much.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Jason Bradwell. Thanks to our technical man from Through the Eye, Andrew Gratian, And thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.